Hello and welcome. This is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to be here to present to you the Kitchen Herbalist Guide to Herbal Home Remedies. I love herbs, and I love herbs that grow we use culinarily that also have medicinal value. And quite frankly, just about all the herbs we use culinarily have medicinal value. So I wanted to give you a rundown of the various herbs that do come in your kitchen that personally I went through this is how I put this presentation together. I went through my spice rack and I picked out the ones that I know have medicinal properties. There's some of them that are mixes that I didn't bother with. But these are things that I have on my spice rack, in my cupboard, and you should too. And you'll find out why. And when you can incorporate the healing power of nature, of herbs, into your day-to-day life and take them as foods rather than as pills or tinctures, you know, little bottles that you just take. Not saying there's anything wrong with those, and there's times when it's appropriate and necessary. But the more you can do by really up-leveling your food, you know, making your food way more therapeutic than it is, the better you're going to feel overall. I want you to realize, though, that the presentation isn't intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional, and it's not medical advice. I'm not telling you if you have an infection to take, you know, these herbs instead of seeking out medical care. You may choose to do that, and if you're well informed, you are working with a natural medicine doctor, you might do that. But I just want to make sure that you're aware that there are some things that require medical attention. And I encourage you to make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. And I feel drawn to say that it really is your choice, and I want it to be choice for you how you handle your health. I want you to think about doctors, medical doctors, naturopaths, chiropractors, whatever it is that you're seeing for a health issue, they're your advisors, and they're there to educate you about what's going on in your body and what the alternatives are for you to handle it. Now, if you go to a conventional medical practitioner, the only things they know about to handle are the pharmaceuticals and the surgical interventions and the things that they've learned in that way. They don't pay much attention to diet and lifestyle and herbs. So you can take their information, and then you could add to it the information that I'm giving you tonight, and information that you may glean from doing research on the internet. And then with all that information, then you can make an informed decision. And I highly encourage you to be your own advocate and make informed decisions. I've recently just spoken to several different patients of mine who have been dealing with ill family members. And one in particular, I remember telling me that she had an ill father and she thought he was going to die. And they told her he was on his deathbed. And she went out to where he lived and she said, I'm taking him home and I'm going to put him in the nursing home, three states away. I'm going to put him in a nursing home close to me. And she did. And what did she do when she went to visit him? She started making him green smoothies and bringing him different nut milks and various things they allowed her to bring, broths and juices. And you know what? She transported her dad, and he's still alive, and he's doing quite well. He's quite happy, and he continues to take the food she gives him. She brings the food over, and she's talking to the nursing home about how to deal with him and how to feed him. So it's really being an advocate. If you don't have somebody to be an advocate for you, at least being an advocate for yourself. So this is why I love to do what I do. I love to empower you. So the things that we're going to cover tonight, we're going to look at some common culinary herbs that are also powerful healers. You're going to recognize most of the names of these, but you may not know everything about them. Now, I won't be able to tell you everything about all these herbs in the time we have, but we'll touch on it. It'll give you enough information that you can research, and I'm going to give you a couple of resources is where you can actually find out a lot more about these. We're going to see what the herbal powerhouses are doing in action. So we'll look at the herbs and talk a little bit about what each of them does, but then we'll look at different actions that happen in the body. That's how herbalists and Chinese medicine practitioners look at the body. They look at it in terms of the actions, of herbs, not the body, the herbs, in terms of the actions, the categories of actions. Which of them are antispasmodic? Which of them are anti-inflammatory, etc.? And I'll share with you what some of those categories are. You could certainly read a Chinese medicine book and find pages and pages and pages of all the different actions. But I'm just pulling out the most common ones for us in daily life. Essential oils for culinary and medicinal use. Which are those oils that are fun to use, that taste good, that are edible for internal use, and also provide some therapeutic value? Then I'm going to talk about the different ways that you can use the healing herbs in preparing your meals. And then the different ways you can prepare them for healing benefits. So if you wanted to do infusions and tinctures, and we'll look at that. And then resources for obtaining the highest quality herbs. And what I'd like to do is, I don't want to hog up the airwaves tonight. I want to present to you, and then I want to open it up so that you guys can share. Like, if you have some favorite herbs that are also medicinal that you use for food, let us know, that are kitchen herbs. And we're not talking about, just to be aware, we're not going to be talking about things like ashwagandha and shizandra and all these amazing healing herbs tonight, because most of us don't have those in our kitchen as foods. But I'm going to talk to you about the ones that we do use as foods, because at 3 a.m, if somebody in your family develops some sort of, painful gas or can't breathe, you don't have time to run out to the local herb shop or health food store and pick out the proper herb for them. And you certainly don't have the ability to store all the hundreds and even thousands of different herbs that can be used medicinally, let alone to be able to pull out the books and figure out exactly what you should be giving that person. This is why people reach for Tylenol or other kinds of drugs, because it is easier. It's not as effective, in that when you use the drugs instead of the herbs, you have a lot of side effects and you don't train your body to be able to do this on its own. Most of the herbs will work not on doing a specific action, but on working with your body to have your body enable your body to be more efficient at those actions. So let's look at 24 common culinary herbs that are powerfully healing. Number one at the top of the list is garlic. And these are not really in any particular order as far as my favorites or as far as which ones are the most potent. They're not even in alphabetical order. In retrospect, I should have put them in some order, but I just put them in the order they came to my head. Garlic is one of the most powerful healing herbs there are. We know from our talk a couple months ago that it helps for lowering blood pressure. We were talking about that on one of our calls, that garlic helps to lower blood pressure. I'll tell you a story about blood pressure. I was speaking to someone the other day. He said that his blood pressure went up because he was stressed. And he remembered about the garlic, and he went and threw a whole bunch of garlic into the blender with greens, and he made a green smoothie that was heavily garliced. His blood pressure came down within 5 minutes. Pretty darn cool. Garlic is also an amazing anti-inflammatory and an antimicrobial. You can knock out a virus with enough garlic. You can knock out a cold with garlic if you do about 6 cloves raw a day. And it's hard to do, but if you can do it, you can knock out pretty much any infection really quickly, as long as it's relatively early. You don't want something that's been festering for months. But garlic is amazing. It also helps with thinning blood, so it's a really good cardiovascular herb. And garlic is in most everybody's house. You go to the store and you buy it. We don't maybe necessarily consider it an herb, but it is an herb. And it is amazing powerhouse. And there's a lot of other things. So let me tell you, for all of these herbs that I'm listing here, one really nice place where you can get extra information is go to the Mountain Rose site, drritamarie.com/go/mountainrose, or just Google Mountain Rose Herbs. Awesome place, family-run business, beautiful graphics on the site. And when you look at their products and their bulk herbs, you click the link and it has the alphabet across the top, A, B, C, D, E, all the way to Z. You click that page you want to look at, you click G, look at garlic, and then it tells you, you know, how much their garlic is, what sizes they have, but also it tells you about the herb itself. There's a little button you can click about it. Folk uses and modern uses of that herb. And it's a great way to learn herbs. It's not as detailed as a lot of the herb books that I have on my shelf, but it certainly gives you a running start. And you can have fun and learn herbs and just have fun with ordering some and taking them home and playing with them. So garlic's one. Onion's another one that's super, super powerful. And we think of onion more as a food than an herb, but it's both. And I think of a food as something you can eat in large quantities. And I think of an herb as something you take in small quantities. So you don't sit down and eat a whole big bowl full of onions. Maybe you do, but most people don't. But you would sit down and eat a whole big bowl full of broccoli. Onions have something called quercetin in them. And quercetin is it's a yellow pigmented anti-inflammatory. A bioflavonoid is what I was trying to say. It's a yellow pigmented bioflavonoid. And bioflavonoids are antioxidants that occur in nature. They usually occur in vitamin C-rich foods. And the bioflavonoids have different qualities. So rutin is a structural bioflavonoid, helps with repairing blood vessels. Quercetin is an anti-inflammatory. So onions can actually be anti-inflammatory. And I remember one time many years ago when I had gotten a bee sting, somebody said, oh, put a cut open an onion and put the onion, the open onion part, on your skin. And that will help with them, really. Well, I bet it's the quercetin in there. There's other things in there. There's other chemicals in there. But the quercetin is pretty darn amazing. And onion also contains antimicrobials as well. Garlic contains something called allicin. And allicin is the active ingredient, the antimicrobial ingredient in garlic. And when you do deodorized garlic, like pills, you don't get the same therapeutic value as you do with fresh garlic. When you do dried garlic, you lose some of the potency, but it's still a good potential. But that's the allicin. So if you see the odorless garlic, you can say it means garlic that doesn't work. Although it does work for cardiovascular, it still has the blood thinning and anticoagulant effects. Oregano is one of my favorites. It's a potent, potent, potent antimicrobial. I use oregano both in the powdered form, the fresh form when I can find it, or in the summer when I grow it in my garden, and also as the oil, the essential oil. And it's very protective against colds and flus. And it's also very good for gut problems, bad organisms living in your gut. And like I said, I could go on for hours about each one of these herbs, so we're going to keep it short and sweet so that we can get through this in our hour. But thyme is another very good antiviral. Antiviral, really supreme. And thyme and oregano and garlic make awesome Italian food, don't they? Right? Most Italian seasoning blends have garlic, onion, oregano, thyme, and another one that we'll come to, rosemary and basil. So thyme is really good antimicrobial. Rosemary. Rosemary is got something called rosmaric acid. And rosemary is actually in the mint family, believe it or not. And so the other mints have it, but rosemary seems to have more than most. And it's very good at cutting down on autoantibodies. Rosmaric acid is used in some formulas that are put together for people with autoimmune disease of the thyroid, like Graves' disease, which is a really hard one to deal with. Rosemary itself is also an antidepressant. It helps to calm liver energy, and it's good at calming down the anxiety and depression. Basil has adaptogenic properties, especially holy basil, which is not the basil we usually take in. But basil has been known to be really good. This is when I first was learning herbs. I said, basil's a great herb for people who used to smoke pot or still do. And it helps to support the liver in detoxifying the pot. Now, I never was able to find references. I never really looked for it. I just kind of took it at face value. But basil's another one. And it also has some antimicrobial, not as strong as thyme and oregano. Rosemary does too. All of these very aromatic Italian type herbs are good antimicrobials. So what I like to do is have people make a nice autoimmune because I'd just spoken about that, but an Italian immune soup, right? Great for your immune system. You just take a bunch of veggies in a pot and you put the onion, garlic, oregano, thyme, rosemary, and basil, and you can either simmer it up and make a cooked soup, or you can lightly steam your vegetables and put them in the blender with the herbs and blend it up. Or you could do a raw soup. And in my Green Cleanse program, which many of you have done, there's a recipe for Italian immune soup. And you could come up with your own. An Italian salad dressing. Great for when you're having to fight off something with all those herbs in it. And yummy. One of my favorite ways to use the Italian seasonings is in a chia cracker. So I soak my chia seeds. And then I make a chia gel. I let that sit overnight till it's nice and goopy, maybe a 5-to-1 ratio of chia seeds to water. And then I will add a bunch of seasonings. Sometimes if I remember, I'll put the seasonings in the water beforehand and then put the chia in. But that helps when you do that, if you add really hot water to help soften the herbs so that they're taking up the hydration best. But you can make a chia cracker with Italian herbs and garlic, and I like to put some tomato powder in there and get some good lycopenes, and which is another anti-inflammatory. So that's one of the ways that I love to use the Italian herbs, and there's so many, the sky's the limit in how you can use them. So cinnamon, awesome. Its claim to fame is what? For those of you who are doing Be War Be Gone, it's a blood sugar balancer. It helps to repair the insulin receptors and allow them to be able to take up insulin better. It works phenomenally. Plus, it's delicious as a tea. I love it as a tea, and I love it just sprinkled in things. Fennel. Fennel is an herb. These are little tiny seeds. And if you've ever been to an Indian restaurant, you'll see fennel seeds in a little bowl with a spoon sitting by the cash register. At least all the Indian restaurants I've ever been to. And you just pick up some of those fennel seeds and you chew on them. Why? Because they know that fennel is what's called a carminative herb. It dispels gas. So it's a great thing to do after a meal, especially if you've eaten a meal that's less than desirable, let's say. Ginger. Love ginger. Ginger has got lots of great properties. One is it's a great for getting rid of nausea. When you have nauseous, you can have a ginger tea or make a ginger ale. There are people who said, I have a stomach ache. I want me to go have some ginger ale. Well, having some commercial ginger ale is probably not the best thing to do because it's sugar. But you can make your own ginger tea, or you can make your own ginger ale by taking the ginger, fresh pressed ginger root, and adding in some sparkling water. And then if you need it to be sweet, you can add a little bit of stevia. Ginger is also an amazing anti-inflammatory. I have used it with many people very successfully who had chronic pain. And they started taking the ginger, and guess what? Their pain diminished or went away. Cardamom. Cardamom is that kind of sweet. It's used in Indian food, but it's also used in sweets, like in things like gingerbread, not eggnog, right? Cardamom, very, very pleasant, often used with cinnamon. It's one of those herbs, though, that you just use a tiny amount. So if you wanted to really get a therapeutic dose of cardamom, you would have a very strong flavor, or you would have to compress it, tincture it, take it as capsules. But cardamom is awesome. And it's really good as a digestive aid. It's very warming. So it warms up the digestive tract. And in Chinese medicine, you talk about they talk about warming the digestive tract, meaning getting your digestive fire going, meaning you're going to be digesting a whole lot better. Clove is an amazing killer of parasite eggs. Anybody that's ever done a parasite program probably recognizes that their formula had clove in it, or better yet, that their practitioner guided them to really get rid of those parasite eggs by taking cloves in a very regimented regime for about 30 days in conjunction with or just towards the end of when you're doing a parasite cleansing herbs. So I don't want to get into parasite cleansing. That's a whole topic in and of itself, but just know that cloves are really awesome for that. And so is cumin. I didn't know this. I started researching. Cumin is also very good for getting rid of the parasite eggs. Lemon peel. Lemon peel has essential oils in it. The one in particular that I'm thinking about is limonene. And limonene is awesome. It's awesome at breaking fats apart. It actually can break down fats. If you were to take the oil from the lemon peel and you were to put it on a grease spot on your table, it would break it down. It's really good at for waking up your digestive tract in the morning. You know, when you've been sleeping and nothing's moving through, that the limonene is really awesome for that. Caraway. And a lot of these I haven't mentioned. Most of these are also detoxifying. Most of these also support your stage 2 and 1 liver detoxification. Caraway is one of the few that actually is really excellent at stage 2. Really promotes stage 2 in a therapeutic manner. Caraway is really awesome. When I grew up, we had caraway seeds in rye bread and in sauerkraut. Those were our two ways of having caraway seeds. There are lots of other ways you can use caraway seeds. If you have a dehydrator and like to make dehydrated breads, of course you can use them in breads and you can have something that tastes like rye bread, even though it's not. For me, growing up with the taste of rye bread, I realized after I gave it up and then had some raw bread made with caraway seeds that it tasted just like rye. It was the caraway seed. Isn't that interesting? But it's really potent phase 2 stimulator for liver detoxification. And for those of you who are familiar with liver detoxification, you remember that the first stage is stage 1, very simple reaction. And basically the toxins come through there and they have to go down a more specific path in stage 2. So there's one pathway in stage 1 and 6 of them in stage 2. And it's usually very sluggish, which is why a lot of folks try to do cleanses and detoxes and it doesn't work real well for them, is because they don't have an active enough stage 2. Cayenne. Cayenne is one of those paradoxical ones, right? It's hot. Many people don't like cayenne because they don't like hot. And many people absolutely love it. Cayenne, believe it or not, has a lot of anti-inflammatory properties. You might be thinking, what? How can cayenne be anti-inflammatory? You put cayenne in your belly and it hurts if you take too much cayenne. Not necessarily. And if you can tolerate a little bit of pain by taking it, most people don't want to, you can actually heal a gastric ulcer or a duodenal ulcer. You can heal a leaky gut with some of them in there, but you have to take quite a bit. Cayenne is also used as a cleansing agent in the morning in a drink I call the gut rejuvenator, which is lemon juice, water, lemon essential oil, and a little bit of peppermint essential oil. And it makes a really, really nice detox drink. And you can add cayenne if you tolerate it, and that just makes it even more potent. Turmeric. It's a little yellow guy. If you look at the picture, this guy over here is ginger. Turmeric looks very similar to ginger, but it's skinnier and it's orange, much more deeply orange, whereas the ginger is usually gold. When you use turmeric, when you can get fresh turmeric, get it. They don't always have it at the grocery stores. They don't always have it at the health food stores. But when you can get it, get it. They will almost always have it at the Asian markets because it's a common staple there. Get it because it's phenomenal. You can chop it up in stir fries. You can put it in smoothies. You can do all the things that you can do with ginger with it. It's just a little bit strong, so you don't use quite as much. Okay. Turmeric is one of the most powerful antioxidants on the planet. It's got anti-cancer properties. It's an antioxidant. It is one of the most and best for the liver, for stage 2 liver detox. It's phenomenal herb. Phenomenal herb. The more you can get in you, and especially if you have an inflammatory condition, the better. And you can take it as part of your food, and if you want to get more, you can get capsules. Dill is another sleeper. It's yummy, it's delicious, but did you know that it helps with phase 2 liver detoxification? Pretty amazing. Mint. The mint family, the whole mint family, which would be peppermint and spearmint and rosemary's in the mint family, lemon balm. They're all in the mint family. And they all have very strong carminative properties. They have menthol in them, which is really awesome for cutting down on pain, muscle and joint pain. I have a wintergreen oil, essential oil, that I put a few drops in any places that I have a little bit of tension or pain, and it goes away. It's pretty amazing stuff. And it's also great for jumpstarting your gut, which is why it's part of our morning rejuvenator. Paprika. Paprika is loaded with vitamin C. Did you know that? It's part of the same family, the nightshades family, as peppers are. So if you're sensitive to nightshades, don't do paprika. We have parsley. Parsley is one of the major diuretics. Really helps you to eliminate the fluids. Sage. I'm drawing a blank on sage. Let me come back to sage. Let's go backwards so that I don't forget them. We'll start at the bottom. I'll start with mustard. Mustard is a part of the same family as broccoli, the kale, all of those things. It is a brassica. And as such, it's high in the sulfur compounds. It's got isothiocyanate, which is a potent precursor to sulforaphane, which is a potent anti-cancer substance. So this family is an important family for you to know and get to know and use. Mustard is one of the strongest of those brassicas. It's not something that you can make a green smoothie out of unless you just use a couple of leaves. So you can put it in as a green smoothie. I made the mistake once of using it as if it was kale, and I just dumped a whole head of mustard into a smoothie, and it was too strong for anyone to do. It was just over the top. So you have to be careful with mustard. Little goes a long way. You can also get mustard as little seeds. And you can actually make mustard. You know the mustard that's in a jar? In our Dried and Gone to Heaven class, we have a whole video segment on how to make mustard. But you use those little seeds and soak them and blend them and add some stuff. And you get mustard, which you can slather on whatever you want to slather it on. Let's go to nutmeg. Nutmeg is like cardamom and cinnamon. It has a sweetness to it, and it's also very warming. Now, you do have to watch out for nutmeg, because really high doses can be hallucinogenic, perhaps. Now, what do I mean by really high doses? Really high doses, meaning doses that are way too big for you to be able to do, because it's just... it's impossible. It's a very strong herb. So if you look at something like cinnamon and you look at a recipe, you can say, put a tablespoon of cinnamon in this recipe and you'd be fine. It tastes good. You never see a recipe that tells you to put a tablespoon of nutmeg. Nutmeg is too strong for that. It's way too strong. So if you're going to take therapeutic doses, you'd probably be taking capsules. But nobody really encapsulates nutmeg. But as a culinary herb, it's really phenomenal for pain relief. It can cause a decrease in inflammation and leave your aches feeling better. And you can actually get nutmeg oil. Like the cinnamon and the cardamom, especially cardamom, it's a carminative. Carminative meaning that it helps with digestive function. Tarragon. You know what my favorite way to use tarragon is? I have this recipe for a mock tuna salad. And I think it's in my holiday book. And it's a phenomenal recipe that makes this, you know, almond sunflower seed mixture. And then it makes a cream to go over the top. And the flavor that, to me, gave it the closest flavor to what I remembered as tuna salad sandwiches when I was a little kid was tarragon. So I don't use it as much as I should. It's interesting because I said that at the beginning that every single time I go through these herbs, I get re-inspired to use them. I go, oh yeah, I forgot how good that one was. Most of these herbs are all considered nutritive herbs, but some of them have stronger therapeutic values. And tarragon is a good source of B vitamins, actually. Isn't that pretty cool? I never thought about that before until I started doing some research on it. And it also has some properties that, like garlic, can help to decrease the clotting in your blood. So it's a good herb to become friends with. And just start using it. You just put it in drinks, salads and salad dressings and soups. But like I said, my favorite way to use it is as a component in that tuna salad. Whenever I think of sage, I think of parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. And there's all sorts of sages. And they have oils and tannins in them that can be very important as astringent. So astringent is something that's drying. So if you have somebody that's got a lot of moisture, an astringent will dry that up. It also allows it to be antiseptic. Antiseptic means it can get rid of microbes. It's often used in, like, a sage tea is used to gargle with when you have a sore throat. They also see them in antiperspirant sticks that have sage in them because it's a really good moisture wicking. And it's a safer way to prevent sweating because it's actually not preventing sweating. It's an antiperspirant because it basically, you sweat, it sucks it up. So it's kind of cool. It also can be used on wounds for healing. So these are all things that you most likely have in your medicine cabinet. And if you don't, you don't have to go out and buy some ones that you don't have. And when I said medicine cabinet, I meant your kitchen cabinet in your pantry. Don't necessarily have to go running out and buy all these herbs that you don't have. Use what you have. And then maybe pick one a week to experiment with and see what you like and how you like to do it. So we've talked a lot about this, some of the properties of herbs in explaining the herbs and what they do. So let me talk to you about some of these powerhouses. What's the action of the herbs? There are immune modulators. Things like garlic fall into that category. Oregano, thyme, those Italian ones fall into that property, that category. Antimicrobial. That same group falls into. And it's hard to differentiate between an immune modulator and an antimicrobial. Something like grapefruit seed extract, which kills microbes on contact, is more of an antimicrobial. Same thing with golden seal, can kill microbes on contact. But garlic doesn't necessarily kill microbes on contact. It provides some of those, that environment that's not hospitable for the microbes, but It also modulates your immune system. Anti-inflammatory. As I said earlier, my favorite anti-inflammatories are ginger and turmeric. Ginger because I love the way it tastes, and turmeric because I love the way it feels. So what are some of the other anti-inflammatories? Let's go back to our list. Good anti-inflammatories are turmeric and ginger. Fennel can be a good anti-inflammatory. Antispasmodics. There's not a lot of culinary herbs. In fact, I can't think of any of the culinary herbs that are really classified as antispasmodics, but I left it there in the slide for completeness because you need to know that there are herbs that are antispasmodic. Oh, chamomile. which we would have as tea, can be an antispasmodic. Magnesium, which is a nutrient, not an herb, but that can be. So diuretics mean they help you to pee out a lot of liquid. Parsley is one of your best diuretics. Dandelion is a really good diuretic too. The root is more like a tea, you're not something you eat, but the plant leaf itself is actually food. So dandelion is a good one, and I have that listed on our list of foods towards the end of the presentation. But diuretic helps your kidney to remove liquid from your body. It helps you to pee more, basically. And in people who have high blood pressure, diuretic herbs can be life-saving because it helps to keep the fluids, keep them from retaining too much fluids. Carminatives, those are the ones like cardamom and fennel and anise that are really soothing for your bowels and help to dispel gas and eliminate it. Healing herbs, there are things that topically, when you put on, will heal the surface. And that really, there's some that help heal the gut lining. Those are usually your demulcent type herbs. They're kind of thick and slimy. And healing herbs are things that can actually physically help heal. There's something called yarrow, which is not a food type herb. It's not something we just eat, but it helps to really heal the surface when you put it on an open wound. So if ever you have yarrow growing in your yard, you can use that. But the kinds of healing herbs I'm talking about here are more the ones that we're going to take in, which would be things like chia seeds and flax seeds and slippery elm to an extent, but I won't consider that a food. It's not something people typically have around, but it is something that I would say is a good one to stock over and above your culinary herbs. If you can have some slippery elm around, it's an amazing healer, soother. The ones that have the healing, good healing properties, are ones that are what's called demulcents. Like they have a goo to them, right? Like chia seeds and flax seeds, when you soak them, they get kind of gooey. That goo is really healing to your GI tract. And then the last group are nutritive herbs. And many of the ones we've listed are nutritive herbs. They're herbs that have specific nutrients in them. They may be high in B vitamins. They may be high in vitamin C. So those are nutritive herbs. On the Mountain Rose website, you have an amazing array of information about the herbs from the use standpoint, from the healing uses and what kind of, which categories they fall into. But there's a site called whfoods.com. And they have pages for a lot of foods and nutrients. And the food pages all talk about what nutrients these foods contain and also what their therapeutic use is. It doesn't have quite as much on the therapeutic use as other places, but it's a great resource if you want to learn that. Sometimes people will say, well, I suspect I'm deficient in a certain nutrient and I want to get it from food. They're a great resource for looking that up and figuring out which foods to take. So in addition to using my culinary herbs to flavor my food, flavor my drinks, we use essential oils for culinary and medicinal use. I have a whole collection. This is just a few of them, but I have a whole collection of essential oils. Those of you who have watched the Vital Healing Kitchen shows, you've seen my essential oil collection. I've shown it on those several times. And I just absolutely adore using them and playing around with combinations. The other day, I made a video. Actually, it's on YouTube right now. Made a video that was a chia drink. We made a chia drink and then added some lime essential oil to it. Just a couple of drops. Oh, it was so yummy. It was so yummy. Okay, so good old oregano. You're going to see these guys show up on multiple lists. Oregano is one of my favorites. It's great to put some oregano oil in your water and sip it out throughout the day. Lots of folks who are exposed to colds and flus this time of year, you want to protect yourself, you put some oregano oil in your water and just do it as a preventative. I've been doing it for the last several weeks because I'm surrounded by people when I go out, and even one of my sons got a little bit of a cold and I didn't want to get it, and my husband too. So I decided I'm just going to keep my oregano oil up, and I do. I keep it in there. Thyme oil, same thing. It gives your water a nice flavor. Lemon and lime, and that's because they contain limonene. Tangerine is also a good one. There's actually a chemical compound in the skin of the tangerine called tangeritin, which is a potent anti-cancer. Also, peppermint is one of my favorites, and peppermint is really good for soothing, calming down mucous membranes, calming down muscles. And it works to your advantage if you've got an injury and you've got muscle soreness and you rub the peppermint oil in there. It feels phenomenal. The menthol does that. It has an analgesic effect. That's another action that I didn't put on that slide, but analgesic meaning a pain-relieving effect. Peppermint is so effective at relaxing muscles that it is said in most herbal books that you should not use peppermint if you have reflux. And reflux is a condition where the opening to the stomach opens up and doesn't close. It's called the lower esophageal sphincter, and it allows the contents to go up into the esophagus. Fennel is one of my favorite flavors. I just love that flavor, and the fennel is amazing at expelling gas. And you can use the fennel, just one drop in a glass of water. Fennel you can also eat as a food. You can get the fennel plant, and it's kind of a white bulb, and it has almost like skinny little celery sticks coming up, and then some really hairy, like really flowery, lacy kind of leaf at the top. And I love taking that fennel and steaming it with cauliflower and blending it up and make a cauliflower blended soup with fennel. Yummy. It's a really great way to get a lot of fennel in you. Yeah, you don't get gas from that soup, even if you are sensitive to brassicas. Or some people get gas with brassicas if they don't cook them well enough. And then anise, and it's very similar. It dispels gas, just like fennel. And they taste very similar. And unless I taste them side by side, I have a hard time telling whether the food has anise or fennel. But I use those a lot. Other oils I use, I love lemongrass, but I don't know the medicinal properties of lemongrass, so I didn't put that in here, but I love the taste of it anyway. So essential oils, one of the ways you want to do is just take a jar of water. I like a mason jar filled with water, and I start my day with the lemon oil and lemon oil and peppermint oil and lemon. I just took a sip of mine, and mine has oregano oil and a blend called On Guard, which has a combination of oregano and thyme and a rosemary, I think. So really good immune support. If I'm wanting to be more alert for some reason, I may use a essential oil that's just really got the ping. Peppermint gives that to me. It's just like, whoa, it opens up your blood circulation. But use them for flavoring your water. A lot of people have a hard time drinking enough water throughout the day. And if you put these essential oils in, not only do you get their therapeutic effect, you also get very good tasting water. So let's talk about a few ways that we can use these healing herbs in our meal preparation. And then I want to find out from you if you have a few favorite herbs that you've used that we haven't discussed, or if you have a few uses for the herbs that you know about that we haven't discussed and want to share. And then we'll open for questions for sure. Smoothies, green smoothies, love my green smoothies. Even though I don't put fruit in them, they're still smoothies. They're in the earlier part of the day. Usually I take them, but sometimes later in the day as well. How do you do that? You can make a green smoothie and then decide, well, how do I want this to taste today? Or how's my body feeling today? What kind of help do I need? And then you can either put the whole herb itself, or you can put essential oils. But with the smoothies, I don't use fruit in them anymore. And fruit was what was giving them a lot of flavor. So instead, I use my savory herbs. And the value I get from that is that these savory herbs have all this medicinal property. So sometimes I might make an Italian immune system soup. Sometimes I may make a liver lover soup. And I'll put in like the dill and the caraway and turmeric and garlic and things that really help support liver. Right? If I feel like we have a lot of colds and flus going around, or my kids have been exposed or something at school, I may be doing more in terms of the antimicrobials. If I've just had a really hard workout and I'm feeling kind of sore and stiff and inflamed, I may put a lot of ginger in there. Ginger and turmeric and lemon. So smoothies are a great way to just really flavor up the greens, get a lot of greens, plus get a lot of therapeutic value from the herbs themselves. I love doing it in sauces. And you can take some kind of fatty base like a avocado or coconut or almonds or almond butter or cashews or whatever, and tahini. And you can blend it in the blender with some water, lemon juice, and seasonings. And you just can decide what you want the seasoning to be. And it can be a nice thick sauce that you could put over your veggies, either cooked or raw. So sauces are a great way. Tomato sauce is a great way to hide a lot of these herbs in it. Well, tomato sauce in and of itself, a standard recipe uses a fair amount of these herbs, but you can even double or triple them up if you're trying to get a therapeutic effect. If somebody's sick and you're trying to help them to get well. The next one would be nut milks. Love doing nut milks, and nut milks you can turn into what's called elixirs. Elixirs are pretty amazing because they're like a magic beverage, basically. You start with some sort of liquid, and the liquid can be a nice herbal tea blend, and then you can add some nuts or seeds and blend it up into a nut milk, and then you can add essential oils and herbs to make them really, really delicious and very therapeutic. It's like drinking a milkshake. But it's, an immune milkshake that supports your immune system, or a milkshake that helps calm your muscles down. Of course, you can put these in salads. Like, I love to take, chop up basil and fresh rosemary from the garden, and even oregano or thyme, chop them up real small and throw them in my salad. I love putting dill in my salad. There's a salad mix that we sometimes get, that spring mix, spring greens that look similar to this salad, and it also has dill in it. Oh, it's so delicious in salad. I love to make, getting back to salad dressings, one of my favorites is a dill, garlic dill salad dressing. Now talk about that being really therapeutic. You've got both garlic and dill together. And I make it either into a dip, or I'll make it into a dressing and pour it over the salad. And then finally, things like stews. You can make raw stews, which is lots of chopped up vegetables with some sort of a gravy type of thing. Or you can make them soup, cooked, where you would simmer your vegetables. I mean, the more raw that you can get, the better. But it is winter time and it is kind of chilly, and we all look for some really healing and soothing, yet still very vital foods. So stews. And it's really easy in a savory stew to hide a lot of different therapeutic herbs that may or may not have a good flavor. But if you look at all of the herbs I've listed, they all have really nice flavors. They're strong-willed and they're potent and they're full-bodied, as the terms go. So how do you obtain the highest quality herbs? Well, grow your own. Grow your own, baby. Yeah, you have a little pot. You don't need much space. You can do it in pots in your backyard. You can do it in a bed, a plant bed. There's lots of ways to do them, and they're pretty hardy. A lot of them grow back year after year, but growing your own is the best way because there's no pesticides on them. Farmer's market, another great way to get herbs. We had one table at our farmer's market, which was just all herbs. They just have everything. Nice, okay? Nice when you go to the farmer's market. Okay, so those are two ways to get fresh herbs. Now we want to talk about ways to get dried herbs. And for the culinary herbs, I love mountain rose herbs. I even use, mountain rose has a lot of the therapeutic ones too. I've gotten yellow dock and yarrow and all sorts of herbs from them. So that would be the dried. I always recommend that you keep some of the dried herbs around, because you can make quick soups and stews and sauces in no time at all. In less than the time it would take you to go out to dinner, you can have these amazing, amazing things in your own home. Fast food in your own home. So have the blends. You can throw together a dip and some veggies, or a salad dressing and some yummy stuff, or a soup in no time at all. Less than the time it takes to drive to the drive-through, at least around here. And then Frontier Herbs is another nice place. And all you have to do is Google these places. Go Google Mountain Rose Herbs, Frontier Herbs. Mountain Rose is more of a more family-run type business. Frontier Herbs has more than just herbs. Mountain Rose is really pretty strictly focused on herbs. Unprocessed, nutrient-dense food, fruits, vegetables, greens from the land and sea, algae, mushrooms, garlic, peppers, ginger, and turmeric. These are all different foods and herbs that enhance your immune system. Well, now that we know a little bit about these herbs and what they do, let's talk about the various ways of preparing them. First one is a tea. And I'm using the word tea loosely. An herbalist would probably slap my hand for not using the terminology correctly. When I talk about a tea, I'm talking about either an infusion or a decoction. And some people think, well, when you say tea, I just think you're putting a tea bag in a cup and shaking it around a little bit. Yes, you can do that. But more likely, the tea is going to be made and have to sit there for a while to get the therapeutic value to allow the chemicals to extract into the water. A rule of thumb is this. If it's a leaf, like basil, oregano, those sorts of things, then you would make a tea by pouring boiling water over them and letting them steep, which means just sit and allow the nutrition to come out of it. And you allow that to happen for, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the herb. If it's something like cinnamon bark, it's a root, burdock root, dandelion root. If you're going to make a tea out of those, then the infusion won't work because there's not enough surface area. They're too big. So you have two choices. One is you cut them into small pieces. When I say cut, I don't mean cut. I mean use your Vitamix, grind. You should grind them down to a powder. Then you can use them more easily. The other option is that you boil them. So you basically boil the water, turn it down to a simmer, put the herbs in, and let it simmer for a good 20 minutes. A very good herbalist friend of mine said, though that's kind of silly that you have to do them differently. If I want to make a tea that has some roots and some leaves, that means I have to do them in two separate pots and mix them together. I wonder what would happen if I boil the water and I put the roots and the leaves together overnight and allow them to extract. And sure enough, they extracted very well. So let's talk about tincture. Now, I have never made a tincture. I've thought about making a tincture, but I've never made a tincture. But it basically involves extracting the active constituents in alcohol. So it's a combination of alcohol, water. And if you've ever looked at a tincture bottle, you see it says 70% ethanol or 10% or 15%. And that has to do with what percent of the actual water versus the alcohol itself. And certain things need very high concentration of alcohol to extract, like milk thistle, very high concentration. And then others need a very low concentration. Capsules can be either you just grind up the herb and you put them into capsules, or what it can be is it's extracted, it's an extract that's then dehydrated, and that the extract capsules are going to be stronger. And you just read it. It may say milk thistle standardized to 20% Silymarin. That means it's not the whole herb that's been ground up. And certain things work fine with the whole herb ground up and others don't. Powder. You can take a powder. You take powdered version of the herb and throw it into things like we talked about on the last slide. Soups or smoothies or stews. You just put them in that way. Extracts. There's a water extract and there's ways of doing that. And I can't really describe it in good detail, but it's just basically a water extract that's similar to an alcohol extract that would be done in a tincture. Elixirs. By definition, usually a lot of times elixirs have alcohol. They don't have to have alcohol. But elixirs would be more like the nut milk shake I was describing to you earlier. You have your liquid, you have, in addition to the liquid, you've got something fatty. So you may put in some almond butter or a handful of cashews or some guacamole, or not guacamole, but avocado. And that's going to thicken it up. So you've got water, you've got the thickener, then you've got something sweet, and that could be stevia, it could be a dates if your body handles sweet fruits like that. And it's blended up, and then flavorings, then your herbs. So you make the base of the elixir, and then you add a variety of different herbs and spices based on what you're putting together. Steams, this is kind of out of the realm of food-based ones, but you can basically boil up some herbs and then make a tent over it and allow the steam to penetrate up into your sinuses. So this is just a list of healing foods. We had talked earlier about healing herbs. These are basically foods that are healing as well. We've got lemon juice, which we've talked about before, chia seeds and flax seeds, sauerkraut, coconut kefir. Those are probiotic and prebiotic, the coconut kefir and the sauerkraut, All right. Sea vegetables are usually just dried, although I've seen fermented sea vegetables as well. So burdock is a root, and burdock is, it can be used as an herb and made into a tea, but burdock as a food, you can buy it at the grocery store. It looks kind of like, it's like a potato color on the outside, dark kind of skin, looks kind of like you need to wash it a lot. And then the inside is kind of a beige flesh. Super important for your liver. Very, very important for your liver. So that's a great healing food. Greens are great healing foods. They're loaded with cancer-fighting chemicals, and they are loaded with antioxidants and tons of nutrients. Mushrooms are great healing foods, and mushrooms can be anti-cancer, anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial. There's so much you could do with mushrooms. And then finally, algae. An algae would be, if you like green powders, algaes are similar. You can get live algae like E3 Live, or you can get powdered algae in a container, and you can get that like at Health Force Nutritionals or at your store. But algae is a great source of omega-3 fats, super source of omega-3 fats. So I encourage you to do it on a daily basis. When I say greens, I'm talking really good hearty greens. So it would be arugula, kale, baby kale, that sort of thing. Well, that is it. That is it for our presentation.